This is Teenage Sports. I'm your host, Michael Barra. Today, I have two great people with me. They've been on the podcast multiple times. Today, we're talking about college football. We'll start with you.
What's up, guys? It's Boom.
I'm Chloe.
You know him. most of the time when people listen to these, Chloe's on it, and Boom as well. So... People have favorites, obviously. So, a lot's happened in college football recently. We saw a non-Power 5 school in Cincinnati make it into the playoffs. They're going to be playing number one Bama, and then it's going to be Michigan versus Georgia. Boom. How about we start with you? Let's start with the Bama-Cincinnati. Probably one of the worst betting teams, because I think Bam is about a 14-point favorite. Who do you think's taking this home, and what do these teams need to do to win the game?
Bama by 28.
28.
Cincinnati could play their best game, and it would maybe be a 21-point game. Cincinnati shouldn't be in there.
In playoffs in general.
I mean, they're all right. Notre Dame was overrated. That's their only win that stands out.
Notre Dame was 5.
Yeah. They're overrated. I mean, their coach is now somewhere else, not even there. you know, he's now changing his voice in the bayou. But, you know, again, there's just nothing like Bryce Young. He's the best player in the nation. You know, I normally don't like to give people who are so highly rated out of high school any credit. But it's easy to throw the overrated term around for recruits like that. But he lived up to it, and he's the best player in the nation, and there's nothing Cincinnati can do in this one.
Chloe? How do you follow that up?
I mean, I agree. I don't think Cincinnati really stands any chance at every position, I think. Alabama's just better, and I think that includes coaching, too. I think Nick Saban cannot coach just about anybody.
So. What would a Cincinnati win look like?
It would look like the A&M game. The A&M Bama game. That's what it would look like. Just very poor execution from Alabama in terms of turnovers and things like that.
Well, the 12th man's not going to be there. That's the only thing that a Cincinnati win could look like.
Do you think Cincinnati looks at the Auburn game and tries to do what Auburn did to? Do you think Cincinnati can do what Auburn did to Bama? Because they almost beat Bama.
Rivalry game. Again, another atmosphere game.
It's a different circumstance. A rivalry game, it doesn't really matter. Your team, like, yes, your team matters, but a worse team can beat a better team in a rivalry game, and it's not surprising.
Great example. Texas almost beat OU. OU is not the best Big 12 team, obviously, but Texas...
Up 21.
That game's always a good game, and so Texas was not was not good this year at all, and that was probably the best game they played against a pretty good OU. But... So, not a lot of confidence in Cincinnati. I think that's fair. Nick Saban has, 2-3 weeks he's had to prepare for this game. I think, so, wants to be a future coach, and he lit up with that. How much does that amount of time and that amount of time to game plan really affect? Because, I mean, Luke Fickle has the same amount of time.
I mean... It's not going to affect anything, because at the end of the day, when you have the best players in the nation with the best coaching staff in the nation, I mean, Luke Fickle can do what he wants, but even if he coached just as good as Nick Saban, at some point, guys like Bryce Young are just going to take over the game. Will Anderson, the linebacker.
He got a few Heisman votes, I think.
He should have been a finalist. I'm tired of it just being a quarterback award. But I actually think he might have been the best defensive player in the nation over Aiden Hutchinson, but whatever. I just don't think there's anything that you can say to where Cincinnati remotely has a chance. Anybody who bet on Cincinnati wasted their money. They'd have been better off buying lottery tickets. And
dang.
That's about it.
This is going to look very good if somehow Cincinnati comes out with a win.
Cincinnati just doesn't have... They don't have any experience playing teams like Alabama.
Yeah.
You don't play them in the season.
They're,
you don't
what,
play
their,
them
their current best win is Notre Dame. Boom says that Notre Dame team's overrated.
I mean, talk to me when you get in the conference, and we'll say, then I'll tell you you're a good team or not.
Okay. Well, Notre Dame's on the same thing as Cincinnati. They don't have a resume, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
To be considered a great team.
Cincinnati's resume is they beat Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's resume is
they
they're
beat
not in the conference.
Nobody as well. So
they play whoever they pick.
I don't think the team that's ranked number 3 has a resume either.
Georgia.
Yeah. Georgia doesn't have a resume, and I...
They haven't played... the only good team they've played, they lost to.
Pretty badly.
I think they may have beat Kentucky when Kentucky was supposed to be good, but you saw how that season went, so... They didn't have to play Ole Miss, didn't have to play A&M, didn't have to play any of the non-Bama good SEC teams. And so... You saw what happened when they finally played a good team.
So we'll transition into Michigan, Georgia. How do we feel? So Harbaugh finally got over the hump of being able to beat Ohio State. Do you think he rides that wave and is able to overcome Georgia?
Boom. I think Michigan's better than Georgia. Georgia's defense, as good as people say it is, I don't see the complete hype of it. When I was at the Georgia game, they played Mizzou. Mizzou is not a good team in any way, shape, or form.
They just lost to Navy?
They're pretty,
Army in
they're
their
pretty
bowl
bad.
Game?
And they allowed them to drive the ball. Did they score? I think they scored 10 points, maybe 6. I can't remember the exact score. But they allowed them to drive the ball. When you play a team like Alabama or you play a team like Michigan, you can't allow them to drive the ball. Because when they drive the ball, they do score.
Yeah.
Mizzou didn't score because
they suck.
Because they're not good. Because of themselves. It's not that they scored because of Georgia's defense. So I don't think Georgia's defense is a top 3 defense. And I don't think Georgia's defense is going to be able to stop Michigan.
Yeah, I disagree about the defense. Of the defense being the reason why Georgia loses. I think Michigan wins because of Georgia's offense and how much better Michigan defense is than Georgia's offense. Haven't been impressed with the quarterback play at Georgia.
Is that coaching? Because the one that's currently starting is Stetson.
Stetson Bennett.
The 5-star backup is JT.
But he doesn't, they put JT Daniels in the game against Missouri when I was there, and he threw, I think, 2 interceptions, and he played a half. Yeah. So he came in the third quarter. So, under pressure, is JT Daniels your best bet or Stetson Bennett your best bet?
They're both not playoff good. And I think that Michigan's defense, Aiden Hutchinson's one of the best pass rushers I've seen. I was going to say since Chase Young, but that wasn't very long ago. But you get the point. I think he'll probably be the first pick in the NFL draft.
Him or Kayvon Thibodeau.
Him or Thibodeau, but the only thing that scares me with Michigan is that Michigan State game. Because they weren't able to stop the run. And if Georgia can get a run game going, which they're going to have to because their pass game I'm not sold on, that might hurt Michigan. But if Georgia tries to throw the ball or has to throw the ball over 25, 30 times, it's going to be a long day for the Dogs.
I don't have the betting odds on this one. If one of you will look that up, who do you guys think is probably the betting odds currently? Probably Michigan?
That would make sense. A two seed being favored. My phone won't work. Georgia's favored by 7.5.
Really? Okay. So Michigan's the dog coming into this, even though it's the 2 seed. I guess bettors are currently really banking on that they were the undefeated team for that long.
I think it's probably the Michigan State game and that's probably really holding Michigan down.
See, but that's loss. Not a terrible loss.
But Georgia's only loss is also is to
it's Bama.
So I mean, Michigan but State and Alabama. When you weigh a one loss team and one loss becomes.
We talked about resume though. Michigan has beat Ohio State, who was what ranked 3 or 2 during that time,
and Iowa. And also had to play teams like Penn State and Wisconsin, who are not ranked right now, but still better. But
when did they play Penn State?
Because
if they played Penn State in like the middle of the season, I think Penn State was didn't Penn State and Iowa both get up to like 3 and 4 at one point?
Yeah, Penn State was 6 and 4. They played them November 13th.
Okay, that was probably more down on their downfall, but that's still a team that was once ranked top 4. Obviously, that doesn't really matter.
Well, Georgia, I mean,
that much.
Their only resume is they played Arkansas when they were 8.
What is Georgia's best win? Is it the Arkansas win?
Well, it's really the Clemson win because at that point Clemson was 3, Georgia was 5.
See, but I don't think Clemson was as bad as everybody said they were.
I'm gonna tell you something.
They beat Auburn.
Clemson would have had a quarterback this year, they would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, because that defense was still amazing. Defense
was absolutely amazing. And if you look at Clemson's schedule, it's insane how, I mean, they should have, if they would have had quarterback play. So that was definitely Georgia's best win.
And it was the first game of the season.
They beat them 10-3.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, dude. Like, Georgia's not going to, I think Georgia's going to be very overwhelmed because their quarterbacks are going to just not,
their run game isn't strong either.
I'd be shocked if Georgia threw less than 2 interceptions.
Georgia's passing game isn't strong, and their running game isn't strong.
So you guys think Michigan's defense is really that good?
Yeah, because Georgia doesn't have anything they can rely on. They don't have a running back that they can rely on. They don't have a quarterback they can rely on. They don't have anything to, if something goes wrong, to rely on. They don't have that. So, I mean, they have their defense. They've
relied on their defense.
They have their defense, but when your offense doesn't score points, then...
Yeah. It does surprise me that Georgia is still the betting favorite, because I would have thought after that Ohio State game that would have flipped. Is this Harbaugh's first time coaching in the playoffs?
Yep, it's first Michigan appearance.
So, do you think that plays into it at all?
No.
Not in this situation, no. If they beat Georgia and they go on to play in the college football, like the championship game, and he plays Nick Saban, then yes, that will factor in. But this game, no, I don't think factors in at all.
Nick Saban said, I think it was Nick Saban who said it. Maybe it was Mike Gundy. I don't know. Probably both. The playoffs started like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And what they mean by that is when you're down the stretch, you got to win every game if you want to get in. You control your own destiny. The reason I'm saying that is because Michigan's already played a playoff game. That Ohio State atmosphere is just as big as the playoff game, if not bigger.
Yeah.
They want to beat Ohio State so bad there, it's insane. And they did it. And, you know, and they've already won a big game like that with the nerves and the atmosphere and everything. So I think Michigan's the best well-equipped to play in a big game right now. You might think that's Alabama because Nick Saban, blah, blah, blah. But got to remember, a lot of guys on that Alabama roster haven't been here before, you know? Mm-hmm. Bryce Young's never played in the playoff game, even though I think he's the best player in the nation. Well, he did win the Heisman, but,
a lot of people
think that too.
But,
there's probably some people think it's Stroud, but it's definitely not.
I think Michigan's most prepared for the playoffs just because they went in there, got things done against Ohio State. They lost against Michigan State, but that's another game. That's a big time, you know, rivalry, big ranked opponent. They're the most prepared for the playoffs, and they're going to beat Georgia by at least 14.
Okay. I was going to finish that up is the score. Or how much do you think the winning team is going to win by? Boom said 28 Bama and then 14 Michigan.
I'm going to say Michigan's going to win by 10.
10.
Oh, Bama, and I think Bama could win by... I think Bama will probably win by 21 against NC.
Okay. So, hypothetical, we have a Bama Michigan championship. Who's taking it home?
You know, it's hard to bet against Nick Saban, but something's telling me that this is such a magical year for Michigan, beating Ohio State finally. You know, Aiden Hutchinson, that guy.
Probably best edge in the nation, arguably.
He reminds me of a guy that used to play high school football with me. I won't say his name, so I don't have the rights to that. But
what?
But, you know, Aiden Hutchinson's a dog. And, you know, growing up a Texas fan, I watched a certain Alabama national championship. And the best player in the nation who got robbed from the Heisman from Sam Bradford, who wasn't in the national championship, who got beat by this guy, Colt McCoy. He got hurt in the first quarter against Bama. And, you know, Texas fell to Bama. And I just can see – I can see something happening in the backfield for the Crimson Tide when Aiden Hutchinson's just wreaking havoc. I think Harbaugh's going to send the house. And, you know, I don't think Bryce Young's going to be ready for it. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get hurt. Because, you know,
that's what it was sounding like there. Yes. Like, boom, he's predicted injury.
It's hard to predict injuries, but sorry, Bryce, when you break your leg on like the 6th or 7th or whatever it is, don't blame it on me. Tell your lineman to block Aiden. But I've got the Wolverines at the buzzer. Field goal. Price squeaks through the right upright.
What is
this? Michigan by 2 at the buzzer. Harbaugh, double fist in the air. Gatorade bath. Probably gets the headset broke. And Nick Saban will not lose any sleep from it because he'll probably win another national championship within the next 2 years.
Wow. So I don't know how you follow that, Chloe. Good luck.
I don't think Michigan's going to win. I think Bama's going to win.
Go blue.
I think, like we kind of said earlier, if you asked if Jim Harbaugh going into this game, never coaching a playoff game, if it had any effect, I think it does now. I think when you're facing Nick Saban, it has effect. You have to outcoach Nick Saban.
You know.
I mean, players, yes, players, Aiden Hutchinson, Bryce Young, like these players being better than who they're playing against does help.
When did Bryce Young play in a playoff game?
What?
Bryce Young hasn't played in a playoff game.
All right, continue. Nick Saban's not in the shotgun for the Crimson Tide, guys.
But Nick Saban can outcoach Jim Harbaugh in a heartbeat.
I don't know,
in any way, shape, and or form, I think. Offensively, defensively, special teams. So I think that will come into play if Alabama does face Michigan. Then, I mean, we're that's what I feel like we all think is going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be Alabama, Michigan.
At the end of the day, when Bryce Young has grass stuck in his face mask because Aiden Hutchinson just sacked him for the 5th time, there's not much Nick Saban can do besides tell his guy to block the guy that's unblockable.
Very good O-line for Bama.
Better edge rush for Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that goes back to coaching. How does he
– I mean
– how does the line prepare for Aiden Hutchinson and that Michigan's defense? That comes back to coaching, and
Doesn't Michigan has – I think his name is David Ajabo on the other side.
Oh, yeah, the other side is just dangerous. Go ahead and block your back for pass protection. The other one's coming, you know.
I believe David Ajabo is also, like, a projected top 10 pick,
you know, and
next year.
I think Michigan's the best team in the country, and they're just, it's not even close, actually. Thinking about it, give me the Wolverines by 10. Cut out this 2 crap. I don't see how you could beat the Wolverines. I mean, we saw it with Kenneth Walker. If Alabama rushes for 5 touchdowns like Kenneth Walker did, they might have a shot. They just might. But if that doesn't happen again, kiss it goodbye, Bryce.
Who is Michigan's quarterback?
Doesn't matter. We're talking about defense.
So this is going to be a very boring game, apparently.
Because of Aiden Hutchinson. I bet Aiden Hutchinson is about to win.
Don't forget Ajabo.
Score all these points. Interception, pick six to the house.
Hey, DeMarcus Lawrence did it last night. So
Aiden Hutchinson. Quarterback's Cade McNamara.
So
been there for a little bit.
Yeah, he's got some experience. He just bought his whole O-line custom Wrangler jackets, I believe. Does that have any? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
he respects his O-line.
Yeah. Wrangler's nice, but I'm more worried about that ring.
So, Boom has Jim Harbaugh getting his first ring. Came into the season on one of the hottest seats in the nation.
Did he?
I'd say
for some reason Michigan just loves that guy to extend that guy.
Yeah, no, he.
I say if he would have lost to Ohio State, I think he would have been done this year.
They just extended him.
They extended him, but
if he lost to Ohio State, I think they would have.
Nah, they were starting to just accept they were the little brother, and Jimmy Boy said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, we're gonna take this thing all the way to the Natty."
So. Boom has Michigan. Chloe has Bama. I'm going to side with Bama. I think Saban.
It's easy to take the easy way out, Mike.
It's the 1-2 seed. I mean,
that's not really the easy way out.
If I'm going crazy, I would take Cincinnati. But I don't. And I love the story. I love it that they're the first team. And if say somehow beat Bama, it's going to break the internet. But I just don't see it. Luke Fickle's he was the coach of the year, but.
Great coach.
That's because they probably can't give it to Saban every year. I mean, let's be honest.
The coach of the year.
No, he 100% was. He's a non-Power 5 team, and they play the way they played.
Actually, I disagree. He was the best coach of the year. I take that back. Head coach at Baylor.
Yeah, Dave Aranda.
Baylor wasn't supposed to be good this year.
So, I don't want to tear you guys' heartstrings out, but I'm sitting here with two OSU fans.
That's still to be decided.
Well, okay. These are two OSU fans. They've been to many games. Obviously, they're both going into college. Not decided yet. How do we feel about them losing their Big 12 championship game to Baylor?
Spencer Sanders, not good. Casey Dunn play calling in that game was just not good. You can't call the same play and expect it to work when, like, OSU's defense, phenomenal. I mean.
I just want to say something. I think it was 7 or 8 plays at the 1 yard line, and they got 3 points out of it.
Yeah.
That's absolutely unacceptable. There is no way in heck you can't get enough push, and that's players. I'm tired of people blaming play calling and coaches. You're at the 1 yard line. You're a Division I, Big 12, Power 5 football player. If you have 8 shots to get 1 yard, you go get a yard.
Yeah.
And that is just was the difference in the game. They had 2 shots down there at the 1 yard line, and they couldn't put it in. That's the difference in the game. Tired of hearing about coaching. Tired of hearing about how bad Spencer Sanders is. That stuff might have played a difference, but you get to the 1 yard line as a football player in the trenches, you're pushing forward. And if you get pushed back, that's a pride thing. 8 times. If I was a Baylor Bear, I'd feel like the biggest man on the planet. That's the difference in the game. No coaching, no play calling, no interceptions, no matter.
But that comes back to play calling.
If any football player on this earth would take an 8 opportunities from the 1 yard line to win a game and say that's easy, they couldn't get it in on any of those. The Baylor Bears wanted that game more.
I can agree with you there. I don't think you should completely discredit however many picks Spencer threw. Did he throw? He threw 4 picks. Those are potentially 4 touchdown drives right there. Now, yes, I understand. They got down to the 1 many times and could not push it in, and it was pretty embarrassing. Obviously, backup running back, that shouldn't still matter. It shouldn't matter.
Desmond Jackson and Dominic Richardson, both of the backups, that running backs for Oklahoma State. If I'm right, I'm pretty sure Desmond Jackson played. They are both good enough running backs that could have, like Bert said, pushed forward and got a yard. That is ridiculous. But what the part that I said about Casey Dunn calling plays is he called the same exact play all 8 times on that goal line.
Yeah, except the last one.
Except the last one. So 7 of the 8 times they were on the 1-yard line.
And guess what? If I was a coach of a team that only lost was because they got screwed over, I'd call the same 8 plays again. You go forward. You tell your guys in the trenches to move. Move forward. Get some push.
Yeah, but
the line did not play good all day.
You're saying that, but also Baylor is also the same thing. They're a Power 5 school. They're in the Big 12. They wanted it, and what do you think that they were doing that whole time? Because they knew what those 8 plays were. They knew what gap he was going to try to fill.
You should never, if you have that many opportunities to get a yard, there should be no excuse.
I agree with you. I just think, and I'm obviously, Baylor. What is the OC's name?
Who?
Offensive coordinator.
What's his Casey name? Dunn.
Casey Dunn. At any point, I'd assume he never wanted to put the ball in Spencer Sanders' hands to potentially throw it or throw a little check down, like roll out and throw something. I'd assume he probably never wanted to do that because it was at the one. He probably many times, but I also do think at one point you need to try something different, and it shouldn't be the last time that you get the opportunity to do that.
Well, Baylor's defense is decent too. Baylor's defense is
a very good defense.
I also think that last play was a perfect play call. I mean, the dude had to make. I mean, there's no excuse for a one-on-one open field tackle for you to not push forward a half a yard. Why did he tried to beat him in a foot race to the pylon? If he would have just planted his foot in the ground about halfway to the pylon, I mean, he didn't even have to get out there. Plant your foot in the ground, lower your shoulder, and just get in the end zone. He was a half a yard away because he tried to beat him with speed. You're, again, a Division I running back against, and I don't care if it was Ray Lewis trying to tackle you. You're 6 inches away. Just go score. Get in the end zone. That's the reason why you're going to college in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You're supposed to score. Lower your shoulder and get in. He got his guy a one-on-one opportunity with that play call to get 6 inches. If I'm an OC, I'm taking that play, that situation, every time. That's, again, on the players. Spencer Sanders throwing interceptions, that's on the players. None of this was coaching. This was just bad players. Not bad players, but bad execution from good players. Spencer Sanders is a mediocre player. But
Desmond Jackson's a mediocre player as well, so I mean.
Yeah, and we don't know if OSU gets in over a Cincinnati because OSU would be the 4 most likely to be obviously the 4 seed in the playoffs.
OSU had a better resume, and truthfully and honestly, OSU should have been undefeated going into the Baylor game.
Yeah, because they lost to Iowa State.
They lost to Iowa State on a I mean, we're saying they should have been undefeated. That's saying that they scored on the drive.
Yeah, I mean they shouldn't have put it in.
They had a bad spot, so the drive didn't continue. Obviously.
Yeah.
We're betting on that spot, him, Brendan Presley getting that first down and then continuing that drive with a touchdown. So we're betting on that for them to be undefeated and then going into the Baylor game. And then we're betting on them to beat Baylor to get into this.
An undefeated OSU would have, if they would have beat the Baylor, that's a team that should have 100% been in the playoffs because no shot Cincinnati, they would have ever put Cincinnati in. But I think that their hands were tied with putting in Cincinnati. It was an undefeated Cincinnati. I think their resume wasn't that great, but
it was the Notre Dame win.
It was the Notre Dame win, and I think they didn't really want to put Notre Dame in after their head coach Brian Kelly went to LSU. I think it's a weird look, kind of, and they may have thought Cincinnati could have been a more prepared team.
Would have been put in with 1 loss over an undefeated team that beat them head to head.
Yeah,
Cincinnati had the head to head over Notre Dame.
There was no question on the top 4.
No,
even if OSU would have won, After was, Bama beat Georgia, they would have kept Cincinnati's and still over OSU.
Well, even if Bama lost to Georgia.
The committee valued the Notre Dame win too much. Mm-hmm. And I still don't think Notre Dame's that great of a team. Like, they're a top 10 team, but they're not playoff caliber. And I think that even if OSU would have won, they would have put in Notre Dame or put in Cincinnati just because the committee has Notre Dame valued so high, and Cincinnati beating a team that high would have put them in.
I mean, Notre Dame's kind of one of those legacy schools that it feels like they're going to get a little bit extra cred. But let's transition. Let's talk about Chloe's very scared for this part, but let's talk about some transfer players and some of the coaches. This is probably one of the craziest coaching carousels in a while, maybe ever. Let's start with the big one. Lincoln Riley leaving OU to head to USC. How do we feel? We'll do these quick because there's a bunch of them. I'm gonna ask you guys. I'll start with Boom, and then we'll go to you, so you don't have to stress. I'm just gonna ask you two simple things. Why do you think he did it? Or I'll ask you three. Why do you think he did it? How fast do you think he's gonna win? And no, I'll ask you those two. So, floor is yours.
Well, I mean, anybody with a pulse can tell you why I did it. I mean, if I'm getting a private jet, even though I'd probably throw up in it, you know, private jet, my house paid over asking price, my new house paid for, that big contract. I mean, I don't like California, but I'd live in it for free. I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a lot better than Norman, Oklahoma, probably. and, you know, the thing is the only issue with him going over there is he's leaving a place where he had another, probably as much job security as he wanted. I mean, I don't see OU having that fast of a decline where he ever would have got fired.
Even after going to the SEC? Because some people said he could potentially run him from the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't take the LSU job, not because he's scared of the SEC, but because LSU didn't give him a private jet and the new brand new house. And, you know, and the state of Louisiana is kind of just the armpit of the world anyway. So, I mean, let's just be real. I mean, the dude just got the moon and the stars and didn't turn it down, and I don't blame him for it. Any OU fan that's mad about that is stupid because they got a better coach. So, you know, that's just how I feel about that. Now, the thing is yeah, he did kind of go away from some competition. The Pac-12 is absolutely horrible. Oregon's supposed to be good, but Utah just completely killed them. So I guess Utah is the contender there. I don't know what Oregon's doing. Maybe they'll be good.
They just lost their coach.
I guess they need Marcus Mariota to come back. I don't know. But Kayvon's okay, but whatever. They beat Ohio State and didn't do anything. Yeah, he didn't even play.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing about it is Riley's not really competing with anybody out there besides who he was already competing with. And what I mean by that is, if he can just recruit just as good as he was at OU, he's going to win instantly because there's not a team out there that's recruiting as good as him. As soon as he took the OU job, about four or five guys from the USC area flipped from OU to USC. And I think that's kind of, I don't want to say the Lincoln Riley effect because he's not Nick Saban or anything, but any time that you've got guys doing that, it's pretty bright. It's going to be a pretty bright future because players want to go play for him. He's, no matter how much responsibility he's had on his Heisman winners, he's coached several Heisman winners. And the Pac-12 just sucks. So Riley will probably win a conference championship within the next 2 years, if not next season, the year after.
Okay.
I 100% agree. But I think Lincoln Riley, obviously he went to USC for the, he got huge contract out of it. Like, yeah. No ifs, ands, or buts about why he went there. I think at USC, he's going to have more success than he had at OU because the Pac-12 is just worse. You know, I mean, at OU, he never won a play. It's not like he won a playoff game, anything like that. I don't really see him doing that very soon at USC. But I think he'll, I think his recruiting classes will be better. I think he will get better players because he'll get more players from the state of California. And obviously, better players from California. He's not going to get bad players. So I think in the long run, he will be more successful at USC.
Yeah, you made a good point. I'm interested in what you both think. Do you think his ability to pretty much get any California player now at this point that he wants, because he's not really competing against anybody in California for recruiting, where at OU, how many Norman, or how many good recruits are coming from Oklahoma? Now, obviously, none, but a lot of his are from Texas. Well, he's competing with the whole state of Texas. There's not a lot of competition in California, except for USC, UCLA.
That's why I think in the long run he will have more success, because his recruiting classes will be better. Not that I'm not saying he's a bad recruiter and his recruiting classes now aren't good, but now you're literally getting the best players from the state of California.
Which is probably top.
And almost handed them. Like, oh,
yeah.
Here, you want to stay in state? Here's UCS. I mean, USC. USC. Oh, my goodness.
You know, thing about it is Texas has the best players, recruiting, and people might disagree with that, but you don't realize how many schools they all spread out to where you really start seeing, man, how much talent is in the state. But the thing about it is it's exactly why A&M didn't want Texas to join the SEC. Texas has so much competition recruiting, and in that's not including schools in Texas. That's including OU, and OSU struggles, but you could count OSU in there too. Arkansas's trying to get in that mix. When LSU's good, they get in that mix. It's really, really, really competitive in Texas to get the recruits because there's just so many big programs around the state of Texas. You go out to USC, Cal hasn't been great. UCLA is like always supposed to be this like, oh, like, cool school to go to, but they're never good.
The Chip Kelly-led team, right?
Yeah. And then, I mean, who else do you got out there? Nobody's going to go to Utah.
But
Oregon's really the closest competitor.
His name also, like, it's Lincoln Riley. Do you want to go play for Lincoln Riley, or do you want to go play for anybody else in the state of California? You want to go play for Lincoln Riley. So,
yeah, Oregon just lost their head coach, and they picked up Georgia's defensive coordinator. I don't know his name. So, obviously, that doesn't matter, but, I mean, like you said, the name thing is...
Yeah, Lincoln Riley has more to his name than anybody.
He's going to be a legacy coach. But, I mean, that is the point. Also, Texas is, I don't know, this is geography-wise, Texas is in the middle. California's all the way over here. If recruits don't want to go as far away from home, they're probably going to stay in state. Where in Texas, they can go up to Oklahoma. It's not that far. LSU is really not that far. I mean, it's far, but or they're just gonna stay in state. So, So let's move to. We'll talk about a different one. We'll talk about. I think this one happened pretty quickly after. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU.
Well, first, Brian, I've never liked you.
Not a great person.
But man, you're good at accents. Wow, that was pretty impressive how you changed your accent completely. You know, I saw on the Pat McAfee show, they were talking about it, and they were making fun of him, saying how, you know, this might be a recruiting tool. You know, when he goes up to New York, he's got his New York accent. He comes over to Texas, has that accent. So maybe Brian Kelly is just playing in a game of his own. Where he goes into those home visits and talks to them moms, and he's like speaking their language, and they fall in love with him. When really, he might be responsible for their kid's death later on. Because that did happen. I don't like Brian Kelly. I just don't. It's LSU. The LSU thing's interesting to me. Because 2019, we saw the probably the greatest football team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just dominate everybody. And they made teams like Bama look bad. Teams like Clemson, a Trevor Lawrence-led Clemson who was really good and would have won the national championship. One of the best teams as well. Would have won the national championship if LSU didn't exist. I mean, they were just good. And so it's just crazy to me that 2 years later, Orgeron's getting fired, and everybody's saying, oh, well, that team was stacked, that team was stacked. Well, that's half of the college football coaching is recruiting. He got those players there. You know, oh, Burrow was a transfer. You still got to get them there. He could have gone to many other schools. He was from Ohio State. And so, and that's my deal kind of off the LSU topic with Jimbo Fisher. He's only a good recruiter in my eyes. He can't coach on the field. And that's why his teams stay at about 3 losses. His players do enough to win that many games, but he's not a good coach on the field. And that just surprised me that they got rid of Coach O so soon. I could have seen maybe in a year or two if he kept up the losing.
But Orgeron was a great recruiter.
But he built literally probably arguably the best team of all time in college football.
Yeah.
2 years ago. That is crazy to me that they got fired so fast. And I think it's because LSU is such a used to winning school. You know, they had guys like Nick Saban and, you know, all that. But I don't think Kelly's that guy. See, here's the thing. Kelly can't turn that program around because nobody likes him. Players don't want to go play for him. Players were going to play for Notre Dame, not Kelly.
Yeah.
That was it. So now our player's going to go to LSU because it's LSU who hasn't been as good. And the guys that LSU want to are guys that are going to be able to beat Georgia's and Bama's and A&M's and Ole Miss's now. I don't think LSU is going to be able – I think they're going to get worse.
So you think this was probably the bad hire?
Yeah, if they would have went and got a guy like Lincoln Riley – or Brent Venables, or somebody likable, it'd have been all right. But I mean, dude, like,
I think you have to. I mean, it's not even a controversial statement. You need to be more likable in college football than NFL.
Oh yeah,
because NFL guys, they get paid to be there. They're there on contract, and I mean, you have to like your coach. But I mean, we see what happens when you don't in Jacksonville. But in college football, you're recruiting. You see those kids all the time. Like
your point is Josh Lambeau made enough money to pay for that medical bill from Urban Meyer's kick. I mean,
I can't believe they cut him. But
yeah, well, he's probably causing some issues.
Oh well, but do you have anything to add for Brian Kelly, or we'll move on?
I mean, he's just not a great human.
Yeah,
let's just get that out there, and nobody wants to play for him.
Okay.
I mean, I think part of who LSU was Coach O. I mean, I think Coach O kind of...
I think it's crazy, like, they went from one of the most probably the most likable head coach to probably the least.
But, like, part of LSU and just in general was Coach O. Coach O was kind of a staple there. So I don't see, like Burton said, I don't see... Brian Kelly just completely changing this whole program, because I don't think that he can be like the face of it as Coach O was.
Brian Kelly's probably a better on-field coach than Ed Orgeron. I think that's pretty arguably easy to say. If he can recruit similar to Orgeron, do you think they can compete in the SEC? Because you're banking a lot boom on that the recruits just don't come in the same way.
I mean, yeah, I think if you give if you give the University of North Texas Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and all those guys, then of course they're going to be good. I mean, yeah, if he recruits like Coach O, they'll go 15-0 again. I mean,
yeah, but
I'm not saying he's a bad coach on the field.
Coach O recruited like Coach O, and they lost, what, five games?
But Brian Kelly is better on the field.
They didn't give Coach O any time to rebuild. You gotta remember that whole team was seniors.
Yeah.
Every single one of that team. Justin Jefferson. Either was a senior or went to the draft. Ja'Marr
Chase went this past year. Gosh, that team was stacked.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
They had some defenders. Ka'Lavon Chase on, I believe. Yeah, that team was.
Grant Delpit.
Yeah. That team was really stacked.
And they all left, and they didn't give Coach O any time to recover. It's only been 2 years.
Well, he also lost. I'm pretty sure he lost his coordinators. I don't know who his coordinators were. Or the offensive coordinator went to the Panthers, and he just got fired.
Thought he's
so.
At the Giants now, maybe?
No. Okay. He has. I don't think he's
Joe Brady.
Brady could potentially. I think you're thinking of Garrett. They kind of look the same.
They're both. Yeah.
I think Brady's good. I mean, he was. One of the brains behind that.
Yeah,
that
offense, I could be good too if I had all those guys.
Okay, well, we know Boom's opinion on that, but let's talk about
Brent Venables.
You want to talk about Brent Venables?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
so,
guy
from he's from Clemson.
That guy has deserved a head coaching job and been offered head coaching jobs for a long time. He finally got the most a prestigious enough one for him to take, and he was smart. And I think I applaud him for betting on himself, because you see guys like Joe Brady have one outstanding year, saying, "Oh, I better go
take advantage of whatever."
Steve Sarkisian, now he got a prestigious job as far as money wise. That's just the first guy that came to my head, but there's guys all the time that have one successful year. That's why Nick Saban never has the same coordinators, because they all have a good year and then leave. But Venables bet on himself. He stayed there for a long time while he was getting offers. He waited for that one that was it's hard to go take over a school, to accept a head coaching job at a school that has never won anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's some schools that'll just never be a playoff team. I think the perfect example is like TCU or Texas Tech. They just can't be. Where they're located, recruiting-wise, they will never be able to pass teams like A&M, Texas, and OU. And it's just hard. I mean, OSU almost did it with a bunch of three-stars. You got to remember, where did these guys start? You know, those type of schools.
Well, that comes from coaching. If a coach can develop a player, then they can win with three stars.
Yeah, but it's a lot harder to get a bunch of good three stars that pan out than a bunch of five stars that pan out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for sure.
What I'm saying is that guy, Venables, waited on the school to where he could go in and just be great. He didn't have to worry about rebuilding much. Now, he's gonna have to do a little bit.
Yeah, because they lost some players, a lot of recruits.
But that's nothing compared to going to a school that's just historically mediocre. That's what I applaud him for. Not only being probably the best defensive coordinator I've ever seen. Now, year by year, he might not have the best defense, but you look at Clemson defenses over the time he's been there.
It's insane.
And Dabo will say it too. I mean, that guy was so valuable to that program, and just completely, no matter what players he always had a good defense. And it's just, that's the best hire. I mean, you cannot tell me that guy hasn't always won and been the reason for winning. Yeah, they've had good offenses at Clemson, but he's never had a bad defense. And that's impressive, because
even this year, this is supposedly their down year.
Because coordinators get head coaching jobs a lot after 1 year, and we never got to see, you know, can this guy sustain this, you know? Sometimes when they do try to, I mean, that can't tell me Joe Brady didn't know it was going to be rough the next year after Burrow and the boys left, you know, and he got out. And that's just the nature of the game. Venables was good over time, waited on his job, and now will probably lead OU to a national championship in the next decade.
Dang. Chloe? Venables higher.
I think Venables being hired completely changes OU as a football program. Because OU in the past, let's just say the past 5 years with Lincoln Riley, 6 years, they have been an offensive school.
Well, so wasn't Stoops?
Well, they were off in school with Stoops, but I'm just saying, we're talking about Baker, Kyler Murray, and then Jalen Hurts. Three Heisman level quarterbacks, two of them won a Heisman, that have made this team good. They went to the playoffs with these quarterbacks because of the quarterback. Well, not because of the quarterback, because of the offense. The offense was good. So I think with Venables, it completely changes it. You know, we always say Big 12 teams have no defense. Well, now you're introducing this defensive head coach into the Big 12. Well, for the time being in the Big 12. So I think that completely changes OU as a team. Do I think their offense will still be good? Yes, because they're OU. They're going to get good offensive recruits because they're OU. But I think now Venables can get good defensive recruits and use those defensive recruits to their ability, and OU will be a more complete team. I don't know about a national championship, but I mean the reason they didn't contend in the national championship with Kyler and Baker were because of their defenses not being good. So I mean, possibly.
Real quick, agree or disagree? When Lincoln Riley left this job, it was, let's say LSU was still available. I know that it wasn't at this time. Could you say OU was the best job available? How cool is it for Venable, who I would assume isn't probably going to go the Lincoln Riley route where he's going to leave after, 5-6 years? I would assume he's probably going to be there for a while if he wins. He's going to get to coach in the Big 12, potentially win the Big 12 championship, and then he's going to be able to go right over into the SEC and potentially win there. That's a very interesting thing for a coach.
I think it's perfect for him because he's going to have a few years. Well, we don't know. We don't know what the timetable is going to be.
It's potentially 2023. It's potentially 2025.
So we don't know, but he's at least going to have a year, at least, probably more, to get his feet wet a little bit with OU. And I'm just going to be honest, the SEC's got tougher competition from the top to the bottom. But he's going to go in, and if he can get a few guys to come over there this year and fill the spots that they need.
And Caleb would potentially stay.
And Caleb, I think, will stay. Venables talked to him. yeah, I saw an article. I don't know how much that's valued. Of course he's going to talk to him. But, I think it's perfect for him, because if you want to win a national championship, you need to not be in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And now your odds to get to the national championship are bigger because you're in the Big 12. But it's just like Lincoln Riley. His teams were not SEC ready, and he got there and he lost, and he got there and he lost, and he got there and he lost, and he got there and he lost. He never won a playoff game. So if Venables makes it in the SEC, he probably will win it. If he makes it in the Big 12, you know, whatever. We'll see if his teams are good enough. But I'm saying, if he wins in the Big 12 and then wins in the SEC, he's going to be legit. You know, Big 12, as much as I've always been a Big 12 fan, a lot of times the Big 12 champs aren't competitors for the national championship.
I mean, Baylor was a two-loss team.
Baylor is not a competitor for the national championship.
Yeah, no,
even if they were in it.
That was a good team. That was a good team, but I don't even know if their quarterback, their offense is terrible.
I love OSU, even if they got in as the 4 seed, in my opinion, they weren't a contender because offensively they weren't there. Defensively, could they have been a contender? Yes. Offensively, no.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just Venables is kind of in a perfect spot, and it's almost crazy that I'm telling you, I don't think Lincoln wanted to leave because he had such a great thing going. I just think it was so hard to pass up that he just had to do it.
It was one of it was really an offer that you couldn't refuse.
It was kind of a perfect thing for both of them because Venables has been waiting on an offer he couldn't refuse, and this was the one. And same thing with Riley. And I wouldn't doubt if you saw them play each other in a playoff game sometime down the road.
It'd be very interesting. Because OU fans are not big fans of Lincoln Riley at the moment. They think they definitely think that he kind of snaked that program.
I'd like to go up to Norman and ask people, tell them that I could give them everything that Lincoln Riley got for them to not be an OU fan. I think we know what would happen.
That's an
interesting way to look at it. I mean,
think OU fans have a valid point being not liking Lincoln Riley at the moment. I do not. This is my personal opinion on all coaching, not just Lincoln Riley. I think if you're with a program for a year, you should stay with it till the end of the year. So I think you should be coaching him in a bowl game. I think every coach should do that. That's my personal opinion. I think it's the right thing to do.
But it's not how deadlines are. College football has screwed that whole process up.
In my opinion, in the perfect world, I think a coach should stay with their team, with the program for the whole year.
Nobody snaked more than Brian Kelly, who held like a 7 a.m. I watched that on McAfee, I believe. Held like a 7 a.m. conference, talked to him for like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's not their fault.
Well, exactly. So, I mean, I see OU fans being frustrated at that point, but I don't understand why they're mad that he's going somewhere else.
I mean,
that's college football
needs to fix that. You shouldn't.
There's a lot of things they need to fix.
It needs to be, well, first, there needs to be probably a 12 or 16 team playoff.
Heck yeah.
That's one thing, but the main thing, really, that needs to happen now, like, there should be no debate, is coaches need to finish the year. There's no reason for coaches to be leaving because now you've got guys, and I hate quitters, and I respect Matt Corral at Ole Miss so much for what he did because a lot of guys aren't playing in bowl games. You've got teams, schools, blaming COVID because they had guys transfer because they knew they were going to lose the bowl game. That's just embarrassing. Texas A&M, no respect.
I think Corral has a little bit to play for in that bowl game.
Yeah.
Because he's still trying to fight for, is he the best quarterback in the draft? How high is he going to get drafted? And he wants to win it. But he also has been hurt all year.
Yeah.
And has played through it.
You know, here's the thing is, by college football allowing the coaching changes right now, you're just making bowl games worse for yourself.
Bowl games are just not interesting.
Because I completely disagree. I'd watch every bowl game. I'd watch every bowl game just because I'm a football nerd and I like watching teams and coaches that you don't see all the time and see how they run things, play calling. But I watch a football game a lot different than a lot of people. And so it's interesting to me. But I think that all you're doing is now players are transferring out because their coach just left, and now they're not playing the bowl game because they transferred to another school. Or players are mad at their coach, so they don't want to play the bowl game. You already have all these guys not playing in bowl games.
People sitting out for the draft.
Well, you're messing up the matchup, in my opinion. So if you put two teams together, because obviously they match up and they're the right conferences, whatever, to be in the bowl game, and then players are transferring, coaches are leaving, players are sitting out. Like, you're messing up the matchup. Now that team is not the team that you matched up with this team. Like, you...
Well, yeah, they do that meticulously, and now you have, like, I think I saw on Twitter, like, Stephen F. Austin wanted to hop in a bowl game.
Yeah.
Like...
You know, it's just...
It's a process to get what team's in what bowl game.
Yeah.
And then now...
It's just being...
The analytics of it don't match up.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Hawaii, Texas A&M, I think there was one more. Y'all are absolutely embarrassing, and I hope no recruit ever goes to your school. Because you might have had a few COVID cases. You had COVID cases all year. Every school did. No school went all year without COVID cases. Sorry. That's just the world we live in today. And you're Texas A&M. You live in a conservative state. You're a pretty conservative school. I'm sorry. Stop blaming COVID because you're scared of losing recruits because you knew you're going to lose your bowl game. They cited COVID-19, and then this should have been in bold, not under that. Injuries and transfers. I feel absolutely awful for that walk-on that was going to start for A&M at quarterback and get his shot.
Calzada?
No.
Calzada. It was a kid. It was a walk-on. Calzada's
transferring out. It was a walk-on. Yeah. That kid was about to get his shot, and he just absolutely lost it because his school was scared of losing recruits because they had transfers and injuries. It's a bowl game. Play with what you got.
So who were they playing?
Do you know? They were playing in the dang.
Because it should have still been a game.
Virginia and SMU got canceled. I want to say it was.
It should have still been a game that they would have been competitive in, that they shouldn't have been worried.
Wake Forest. They were playing Wake Forest.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They probably would have lost because of the guys that transfer and you have a walk-on. But play the game. Play the game. It's a bowl game. Your program makes so much money from bowl games. People don't realize how much bowl games mean to football programs. People think, oh, you're a college football program in a bowl game. You have plenty of money. No, that money actually, like, means something. And schools like, maybe not the Texas and the Bama and the schools like that, but the teams like TCU, Tech, those schools want to make bowl games because it brings so much money to their program that they actually need. And, you know, A&M has plenty of money, but it's so frustrating to me in Hawaii. Memphis was in Hawaii when their bowl game got canceled. They were in the Hawaii Bowl. Again, COVID, transfers, and injuries were the reasons. Scratch the COVID thing. There's been COVID all year. Injuries and transfers, they were scared to play in the bowl game. There should be a punishment for that, honestly. Because you took a bowl game away from a team. Now, for the Memphis players, they were already in Hawaii, so they just got a Hawaii vacation, you know. And they all already got all their bowl gear. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, they're probably not that mad about it. But for real, you've got college football and – you know, the NFL and professional leagues, I think, have too many fines and things that they pick on, and they're a little too controlling. But at some point, the NCAA has to have punishments for schools doing this. And this can't be, because COVID's going to be a thing from now on. Sorry, people. COVID's not going away. Okay? It's going to be here. This can't be an excuse anymore. After this year, it has to be done. Schools that make bowl games need to play. Or they need to say before, they're not going to play. You taking a game from somebody, taking money from programs, because not only do they not get the money for that bowl game, the other team does. And what happens with the sponsor of the bowl game?
Yeah, you know, that's
absolutely, I mean, I don't even know how that works, but that can't be a very good business thing there with the...
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what bowl game, whatever sponsor that was for that A&M game, but... What have they been advertising for the last however long? They've been advertising the blank bowl game. So now that it's not going to get paid, it's not going to... Are they still going to have to pay out that same... Well,
you're talking about huge companies sponsoring these bowl games.
So
I know. It's
So these companies, they don't want to sponsor something.
So the Hawaii Bowl... Bowl was Easy Post.
See, but even little... smaller companies, bigger companies, it's going to potentially lose revenue in the future because companies are not going to want to do that because they're potentially losing out on... Now, obviously, they don't...
The companies, there's a 100% chance that they lost money from a canceled bowl game because you are sponsoring everything. So you... Everything's coming out with your name on it. It's the blank bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
T-shirts, hats, anything. That's your money. The game, your money. You're paying for them to play. Like, this is... You're losing money.
So, and then also, in A&M's case, they got replaced by a 5-7 Rutgers. Okay? So, everybody's saying, and you know, the idiots on ESPN, and there's a lot of them, that say that, oh, A&M was smart. They were protecting their players. That team wasn't ready to play. Is a team that already put their equipment away until the spring and is already at home for Christmas... thinking their season's over, ready to play, that hasn't practiced in a month. Rutgers got on the phone and said, hey, boys, we're playing a game in a week. We haven't practiced in a month. We got to get the pads back out and the helmets. I mean, literally, it sounds stupid, but that's literally what had to happen.
Yeah.
That team's more prepared to play than A&M was with got some guys injured and transferred and a couple guys that have never seen the field and have COVID. Sorry. It's just unacceptable.
Well, the thing is that literally happened last night to Washington. That was Washington's team last night. People that have never seen the field because injuries and COVID.
Did y'all see like the little player intros thing?
Yeah,
there was one that didn't have anything.
It was literally it was just a picture of this guy.
Yeah.
So they still played the football game. They have no choice.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why you have a choice. Because you're in the same boat. I mean, obviously, professional and in college, a little different.
They can cancel it.
There's no punishment.
But there needs to be punishment. You should not have a choice. You need to play in that bowl game. Have a third string walk-on as your quarterback. That's your problem.
We either need to do that, or we need to make less bowl games and higher requirements to make bowl games.
I think that should be.
I've always thought that. Six wins, that's a mediocre team.
Yeah.
I think bowl games bring so much money to programs that's why it's like that.
I think that's
and
good.
It's a good thing. But I also think that outside of the New Year's Six bowl games, I mean, the New Year's Six bowl games I still value because those are still really good teams. Ole Miss, Baylor, Utah, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame. Those teams are all really good teams, and those are going to be good games that should bring in a lot of money. But, dude, why is a 5-7 Rutgers in the dang?
And they're playing a Wake Forest team who's not that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not great at Wake Forest. But they have three losses?
Yeah,
they're a top 15 team.
They're a top 15 team, and you're putting a 5-7 team. So, again, it messes with the analytics of everything. This team is matched up with this team for a reason. And then now you have a 5-7 Rutgers, who hasn't practiced football, against a, I want to say, 9-3 Wake Forest. I could be completely wrong. It's somewhere around there. They have 9-10 wins. So, I mean, how is that matchup good?
I think just pretty much what we're getting at is a lot of the college football layout and rules and just how college football is run overall. I think we all agree that it needs a lot of change, and there's a lot to go through that. But I think we all agree that change needs to happen in college football because a lot of people get screwed over for some things like this, and it just shouldn't be like that. Unless you all have anything else on that topic, let's move on to something. We're going to play a quick game.
Garrett Wilson just entered the draft from Ohio State. Just got the notification via Adam Schefter.
Wow. We get the breaking news. Okay. So we're going to start with which team. I'm going to give you guys two teams, and you individually are going to tell me which team you thought was more disappointing. And then we're going to do for the opposite. So which team do you think was more disappointing, Iowa State or North Carolina?
Iowa State still had Breece Hall and Brock Purdy, and that's where
I believe I saw a poll where they were top four projected.
Yes, and they won 9 games last season.
If you remember my playoff prediction, Iowa State was predicted to make the playoffs.
I do believe you were pretty high. I think everybody. That's why.
Okay, here's the thing.
And last year they showed that they had the potential to be that team.
Both of these
teams
did.
And they kept a lot of players. They kept Breece Hall, who is supposedly the
whole world.
Yeah, the best player to ever walk the face of the earth. And Brock Purdy, who apparently in the month of October can play the best football of his life. But they didn't show that. And so that was frankly very disappointing.
I think I have to say Iowa State, since I predicted him in the playoff, but Sam Howell, I thought, would clearly be the number one overall pick this year.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, knowing the Jags have the number one pick now, they wouldn't have gone Sam Howell, probably.
Yeah, but we all thought it would be the Lions.
But,
so,
you know, I thought Sam Howell, and I still think Sam Howell is good and probably going to be pretty good. I love Mack Brown. He's my favorite coach of all time. And I thought North Carolina was going to be pretty good. But Iowa State has to be the answer because I literally thought they were going to make the playoff because, you know, and I was right about one thing. I thought this was their year to win the Big 12 because I knew OU was going to have a down year. I wouldn't hire Rattler. And I was right about that. And yeah. Considering OU standards, OU had a down year. You know, OSU got over that hump. Baylor was a shocker, and Texas wasn't as good as I thought they were going to be. And so, yeah. Iowa State was really just disappointing.
Chloe, you want to add any more to that? I mean, Brock Purdy, was he a 5-year senior?
No, I think this was his fourth year.
Fourth year? So,
Iowa State thought Bryce Hall was hung the moon. So, I mean,
and
he wasn't, didn't.
And Matt Campbell, is that his name? He was getting a ton of potential offers and jobs, and everybody was interested in him, and he was not very good either.
Dude, I'd hate to be a referee, like, reffing an Iowa State game. That dude won't shut up. That's a great coach, but, man, never seen a guy almost, like,
pop a he was definitely in that ref's ear during the OSU game, I'll tell you that.
Any game, I mean, man, dude, like, just chill out.
I mean, I think Iowa State does have potential in the future with Matt Campbell. For sure. But this was supposed to be their year, and they completely, yeah, there was nothing remotely positive to come out of the year for them besides probably that OSU win.
Yeah. So, next one. The University of Texas or LSU?
Okay. The University of Texas. That was ridiculous, because people thought when Sarkisian came in that he was going to make the team better, and he didn't. So
yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, LSU was just not good either. They were both just embarrassing. So
yeah, I mean, I think everybody, the Kansas loss for Texas was one of those.
Blowing a 3-score lead or 4-score lead.
Against OU. It was a very embarrassing season for them, I think everybody can say. And LSU, I don't know if they were probably not as high, but they were still up there. I mean, people thought that they would still be good. I mean, they just a few years ago had the best team, we just said earlier, ever. So let's do another bad two, or no, let's do the risers. So which team was more impressive? Okay, Baylor or let me try to think of an equivalent. Baylor or Iowa?
Baylor. Baylor wasn't supposed to be good. And they won the Big 12.
Baylor. I mean, nah, I think that one was easy. I mean, like I said, I think their coach was probably should have won Coach of the Year. They weren't supposed to be good. So, and now they're probably going to compete pretty well in a New Year's Six bowl game.
That's fair. Okay. I think I'm going to know the answer to this one, but OSU or you can
OSU or Ole Miss?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one there for you, bud.
I think probably Ole Miss, just because Ole Miss had to beat like 3 or 4 good teams. OSU had to beat OU and Baylor once, and they had lost to Baylor the other time. So, I mean, Ole Miss offense was one of the best offenses I've ever seen.
Really? Chloe? So,
I think Ole Miss, because OSU was a 9-win team last year. So,
yeah, Ole Miss hasn't been good.
Yeah, Ole Miss hasn't been good. OSU was a 9-win team. Then the year before that, they were an 8-win team. Then the year before that, they still won 6 or 7 games. And the year before that, they won 10. So, you're talking about, like, it's not, they didn't go from bad to great. Ole Miss went from mediocre at best to a great team.
Yeah. I think we got a lot out of this. Do you guys have any, when we can go ahead and wrap it up, do you guys have any final thoughts on playoffs? If you want to talk about any transfer players, if you want to, any, or any of the coaches.
I've got two words for y'all.
Oh, gosh.
Go blue.
Oh, my gosh. Chloe?
I mean, roll tide. Like, I think Alabama's winning it all. We'll see.
All right. Thank you guys for coming on. It's been a good podcast. And goodbye.